Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com, here on BlogTalkRadio.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And if you're listening to us via our simulcast during the hours of 9 o'clock p.m. and 11 o'clock p.m. here on Monday evenings, we're so glad to have you. But if you're listening to us on any other social media platforms or during any other times of the week, please contact us here at LiveDeliverance.com and give us the times, the dates, and the locations or platforms that you're listening to us on. Although we would love to proliferate the airways, we must do it legally, ethically, and in righteousness. If you hear our content through any other means, it is the result of Internet piracy and copyright infringement. And all of those who participate in any Internet piracy can be persecuted by federal agents. Having said all that, now we can get down to kingdom business. So go ahead and get a pen and some paper. If you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. And now, if you would, join your hearts with me in a word of prayer as we sanctify our time together. Heavenly Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance take forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. And draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. And we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, this is part four, I believe it is, of Move on to Faith and Grace in Action. And so we've kind of looked at some things because the first time we were introduced to the Spirit of God, he was moving upon the problem that was in front of him. It says here that the earth he came in the beginning was God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we dig into and we saw that God saw a problem. You know what's interesting here, that it was never stated as to what caused the problem? That's not one of God's major themes that he concentrates on. He finds a problem and then manifests the breakthrough, deliverance, the answer. He's not really looking at the why, okay? Because his word is so powerful that he starts in the place of victory, and then puts us in the same place, victory. So then, if you're spending your time blaming, accusing, then you're not spending your time hearing, because the Spirit of the Lord moved or hovered over the problem so that he can bring the answer. Notice there was not a time because when he first created the earth, he had a triune meeting, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and he said to them, let us make man. You see, he has these meetings for advancement, not for blame. Okay, so then if you want to hear the conversations of God that are designed to bless you, empower you, and move you, then you need to hear what's happening next, not concentrate on what's happening now. Okay? God is a God of increase. And so then, since he is, he wants to invite you into the increase that's going to open up the rest of your life. Okay? So the earth had a problem. It was void. It was without form. It was dark. There was water everywhere. Okay? So then it wasn't an easily habitable place. And God, when he hovered over it, looked and said, okay, this is what has to happen, and this is what we're going to engage. And then he went through the process of bringing answers, and every time he brought an answer, it said, and God said, let there be. Okay? My pastor said yesterday something that was just very powerful. God has hinged our very existence on three words. Let there be. Glory to God. He didn't say, this is here. He didn't say, who put this here? He saw the problem and gave three words as the answer for the situation, let there be. Then he called for the thing that he wanted to be. All right? We have the same ability, it says in Romans chapter 4. We can call those things that be not as though they were. See, we don't have to spend the time talking about the thing that is when we should be spending our time calling the thing that is not. And say those three words, let there be. You are an authorized agent to release the faith of God, to release the creative power of God that is housed in your mouth. You have that authority now in this time. See? So then we would need to do that so that we can position ourselves for the victory that comes. Wow, my God, we can position ourselves for the victory that comes on the other side of those three words. Let there be. Wow. See, you've been given the right to do that. You know, that's interesting. That's interesting, beloved. What the devil does, he's an accuser of the brethren. In other words, he's going to talk about what is. Not what is desired, but what is. He tries to lock us into our past. The past that presented the conditions that exist right now. Okay, I'm saying this. I'm hoping y'all are getting this. Write this down. He's trying to get us to focus on the things said, done against us that caused what we are facing right now. As opposed to hearing the word of God, that gives us the right and authority to say, let there be. We have the spirit of prophecy, the Bible says, that's been given unto us. See? And we should function from that position. Let me just help you out with that. That's good, sir. When we function from the position where faith is speaking, the devil can't enter into that and mess it up because he don't know what it's going to be yet. The devil is a creature that has now been relegated to function by sight. Amen. Things that have already happened. He has no insight to your future. I know people have said that, but he doesn't have any insight to your future because your future is connected to the spiritual things, and the devil is a dead spirit. Amen. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. See, so when you get the understanding of that, then you put yourself in the position where you can see what God is interested in by what he's revealing to you. Let there be. See, Jesus said that he's going to build his church upon revelation. Let there be. Amen. See, so then as we do that, we put ourselves back in the position where faith is now active in our heart. And as faith is active in your heart, Jesus taught us in Mark chapter 11 that I will be able to say the things that I desire. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Praying is declaring the understanding, illumination of the heart that God has ordained for your life. You know, it would do us a whole lot of good to understand that if I'm talking to the one that has the answer, glory to God, as I'm talking to the one that has the answer, it would probably be wise for me to hear what the answer is as opposed to talk about what the problem is for 47 hours. Amen. Jesus told us that your Father in heaven knows what things you have need of before you ask. So if he already knows, it would not be a wise use of my time telling him something he already knows that's not going to allow my future to unfold. You do recognize he's waiting on us. Whatsoever things you bound are bound. Whatsoever things you loose are loosed. So then if I spend all my time complaining and not loosing, then I'm just going to keep going through the cycle of talking to God about stuff I don't like. When he's giving me answers, wow, he's giving me answers that I don't know and I would like. Yeah, let's go there. See, he's going to speak faith words. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He didn't say the words that I speak are natural and they are only words of frustration, death, anxieties, and fear. He says the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He didn't say they have life. He said they are life. You know, I love the words that are in the Bible, and then when God breathes on them and opens them up in my understanding, they get good to me. He said they are life. Our life words deal with my now and my future. Past life words deal with what has already happened and continues to exist in my now. But because my focus is on my past, I don't get a chance to enjoy my now. I throw away my future, my destiny, because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? Let's put it in our understanding that we need to stop complaining and start declaring. Start making decrees. Job chapter 22, verse 36 and following, it says that I'm supposed to be the one that declares and decrees a thing, and it shall be established unto me. See, I'm the one that's supposed to call those things that be not as though they were. We having the same spirit of faith. Believe, and because I believe, that's why I speak. It didn't say I speak because I'm frustrated. It didn't say I speak because I'm hurt. It says I believe, therefore I speak. Okay? See, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you shape and frame, according to the word of God in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm trying to help you frame your world. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. See, I'm giving you information that would help you frame your worlds. Amen. You can frame your world of healing. You can frame your world of deliverance. You can frame your world of prosperity. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that are made were not made of things that do appear. It didn't say that they were not made of things that will appear. It said things that do appear. See? I can't get to the best part of my life rehearsing the worst part of my life, because by your words are you justified. By your words are you condemned. So then if I spend all of my time speaking about the things that I don't like, then that's going to cause the condemnation that I don't want. But when I abide in him, John chapter 15, and his words abide in me, when his words live there. See, and maybe what we do is we just have visitation. You know, that's why some of the people that fellowship once a week, they can't get the breakthrough, because they're not living there. Jesus said, if my word lives in you, if you live in him, not just visit. A visit is good. I'm not upset about a visit. But if you want to get to the place where you can have fullness of joy made, then you have to live there. See? It's going to have to be the first thing that you reach for. It's going to have to be the thing that allows you to see how to walk. The word is a lamp and a light. It needs to be the thing that gives you, opens up your pathway to you. See? But if you're just going to visit, then I don't know. Every once in a while you get a hit and a miss life. Sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you don't. See? But he's trying to invite us into the life that Jesus left for us, and that life is a life that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. That's the way he opens up his word to us, because his word lives and abides forever. Try to get to that scripture over there. The Spirit of God moved upon the problem by the word. Then we see it again. He brings these things to us and gets us to see them over and over and over again so that we can rehearse them. See? So that we can allow it to blossom. Isn't that what he's going to say right here? Isaiah 55. Let's just go and see it right here. There it is. He says, I'll start in verse 11. He says, he tells us first, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts are not my thoughts. For as the rain, it says, he comes down from above, and it doesn't return thither. See? Start in verse 8. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Now, a lot of times we would think that that would mean that God is not interested in us walking in his ways. Then why would he give us commandment to walk in his ways? See, we get religious in our thinking. The word of God, every promise, that God sends to us is an invitation. His commandments are an invitation for your next level. He would say, do this. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to do all his commandments, then all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. The commandment was an invitation for your next level. It was not a punishment for what you didn't do. Maybe we can say it that way and get you to hear that. His commandments were always an invitation for your next level. Jesus said, if you're heavy laden, if you got burdens, take my yoke and learn of me. For when you learn of me, you will find rest unto your souls. You will find something that's easy. You will find something that's light. He didn't say, take my yoke upon you and be stuck in the hard thing. Come on, y'all. This is what's written. Okay? So then it would do us good to follow that which is written so we can end at the destination that was already laid out for us. That's why it's written. Okay? Just again, so that you can see it. Let's flip over there. We come right back to Isaiah. So hold your place in 55. But I just quoted Matthew 11, 28. So let's just go there and see it. Every commandment is an invitation from God that opens up your next level. That's what it's there for. His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. See, they're not punitive. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So when you come to Jesus, the exchange that you should expect from Jesus is rest. You should not come to Jesus and expect things don't get worse. That's not what he promised you. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And the way you can enter into this rest is to take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He didn't say, take your frustration and continue to meditate on that. He said, when you come here, stop thinking about that stuff. Think about what I'm wanting to do, what I have promised you. Take my yoke, learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. So if you're learning of Jesus, then you should have the expectation for what comes out of him. Not what comes out of what I did. Stop thinking about what you did. He already knew what you did made you tired. You were heavy laden, and you were burdened. See? So he already knows that you messed up. So why even bother that one? Turn the next page. He says, and when you come to me, you'll find something different, that I am meek, and I am lowly in heart. Didn't say, for I am the God that's going to zap you. Because after all, you messed up, you old ugly outfit, you. No, he says, when you come to him, what you're going to learn is that he is meek and lowly in heart. He's not a God that's trying to pay you back for your mess. Come on, y'all. He said, come to me, learn of me, take my yoke, and this is how you participate in what I want to do. I am meek and lowly in heart. Okay, all right. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. He didn't say, I'm meek and lowly, and I'm going to make you come and drudge around in the lower parts of the earth. See? He was displaying his heart compassion for you. I'm going to come down to where you are. This is the difference between Christianity and any other religion in the earth. Emmanuel, God with us. He came down to our level. We don't have to try to work up to his level. We couldn't happen. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord. All right. See? So we tried to get there, and he said, well, anybody that tries that, all have sinned and fallen short. Okay, just so I understand, all has the encompassing understanding of all. Is that correct? All means all, and that's all it means. So then if all have sinned and fallen short, and I try to get up to God, he just told me that's not going to work because I'm going to fall back into that category of all. Okay? So he said, so what God did is he said, okay, good. I will come down to your level, and then I will save you. I will put you in the Ark of the Covenant. Ark means that I'm in a position where I can be protected while I'm moving. When you see the picture of a boat, an ark, it means that you can go from point A to point B being protected from the water, but you will still end up in the place that you desired. Amen. So he came down from heaven to save, to seek and to save. Mm-hmm. To seek and to save those that were lost. So then since that's what he came to do, it would be wise for me to let him do that, wouldn't it? Amen. See? So then he came down, Emmanuel, God with us. And when I'm in that Christmas story, Emmanuel, God with us, when you understand that, then it says that what happened at that time, these are the words that the angel said. It says that goodwill on earth, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. Goodwill towards men. I'm here, the baby's here, the seed is here, and now I'm going to announce to you peace on earth. God's not mad at you anymore. Peace on earth and goodwill from heaven towards men. Okay? So when you get this, when you come unto him, and if you're heavy laden, he said he's going to give you rest. I'm just trying to read so that we can see and understand. It didn't say when you come, he's going to give you punishment. Okay? He knew that you were heavy laden with sin. He knew that you've been trying to work it out and never got it worked out. He said, come, and I'm going to give you rest. Did not say, and you will have to earn this rest. Pay for this rest. He said, if you come to me, I'll give you rest. So now take that yoke. Be connected to me that way. And then learn of me. Because I am meek and I am lowly. I'm not proud and haughty. I'm not mad and upset. It's not in that verse, beloved. So then when I come to him, I have to understand he is meek and lowly in heart. Amen. See, God's not holding against you what you did yesterday. He is, just like the commandment is an invitation, then he's waiting on you for the participation of, all right, God, I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to hide it from you. Act like you didn't see it or don't know. But I'm going to confess. This is what it says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, if you can just look at the picture of what God does, you come, you confess, he gives you a bath immediately. Let's just kind of think. As a mother, when the mother finds out that the child that she birthed has had an accident by not going to the bathroom, don't know how to go to the bathroom yet, no problem. So then the child has had an incident, I'll even make it this way, has had an incident where that which he did is going to affect him in a bad way. Does the mother leave the child in the mess? No, the mother cleans the child up. Does the mother go through steps 5, 6, 7, and 8 and tell the child, well, you can't do this? She doesn't go through that. She simply cleans the child up. He said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and give you a bath. And then I would find this as I go on through this process. And after the mother gives the child the bath, does the mother then isolate the child and say, I won't have nothing to do with you, you old ugly, huh? No, the mother actually entertains the child next, doesn't she? Yeah. She's glad to be in fellowship with the child. Because the child, as soon as the child is born, the Bible says the mother forgets all of the trouble that was there to bring the baby here. He says she has great joy now. So that same process would take place when God is able to forgive you and to give you a bath. He has the ability now to fellowship with you. Amen. See? He says that, I come unto me, take my yoke, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he says, not only that confidence, when I said that gives you confidence, but he says, now I'm going to give you an additional understanding. I'm going to do what? Let you find rest unto your soul. All those agitating passions, gone. I'm going to allow you to find rest. Notice, he didn't even send us on a longer excursion trying to get to the place where we can enjoy fellowship in his presence. No, he says, no. If you would come to me thinking this way, then the only thing you're going to get is rest unto, you're going to find it. You're going to find rest unto your soul. See? Then he says, now, my yoke, the thing that I asked you to be connected to, he said, it's going to be what? Easy. And my burden is light. So then let's just say this. He said, my yoke or what you are connected to is going to be easy. And as you leave here, your next steps are going to be light. They're not going to be heavy because of all the stuff that you did. When you come in his presence, he's going to give you the bath, and then your next step is going to be light. Both ways, illumination and burden. Burden's gone. Illumination is guaranteed. Light. This is what he promised. See? So when you go to the word and God is speaking, because before he even got to, this is what kind of took me there. Go back to Isaiah 55. Okay, I'm going to back up to verse 6 so that you can see what he said in verse 7. So that the things, the promises that he makes in verse 11 will then mean more to you. You will feel invited into your next level, as opposed to feeling condemned by your last level. He said, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let up, that's an operative word. That means you can let or you cannot let. Okay, it's up to you. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He says, so if you're going to seek the Lord, please know that your destination, your arrival is going to hinge on you doing something. What is that? Forsake your way and forsake your thoughts. Okay, forsake would mean to abandon, wouldn't it? So if you think that you are unworthy and you're just an ugly old outfit. You can't never do. He said, stop thinking that. Forsake that way. Forsake that thought. Well, I don't have no choice but to do this because after all of the things that I've done has brought me to this place, okay? Stop thinking about the things that were done to get you here. He said, now I need you to think about the word that I sent to you to take you there. Take that word, use that word now, and then that word that you allow to enter into your heart, that truth that you allow to make you free, then that truth will open up your destiny. Okay? But if you're still thinking about how ugly you are, he says, I need for you to forsake that way. I need for you to forsake that thought. And he said, this is all one sentence. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. See? He said, I know what your problem is. You think that because you separated from me, that that's going to be the end for you, that that's where you're going to have to stay. He said, stop thinking that way. First of all, I came to you so that we would no longer be separated. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. See, that's why he said, peace on earth, goodwill from heaven to men, towards men. That's what it says there, Luke chapter 2. Goodwill towards men. I am now displaying heaven's thoughts, heaven's position, goodwill towards men. Not bad will, ill will. That's not what I'm giving you. I'm giving you goodwill. That's what I'm sending towards you. And one of the reasons why he's sending goodwill towards you, because you will gravitate. It is the goodness of the Lord that leads you to repentance. Goodwill towards you. See? So then you'll stop separating yourself from God because of your past, and you will accept that he's made you accepted in the blood. You'll get to that and say, no, that's what he did for me. He came to get me. Okay. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And as you do this, when you do this, if you participate from this position, he says, then what will happen? And he will have mercy upon him. Did it say he might have mercy? No, it didn't. It said that when you forsake your way, when you forsake your thoughts and return to the Lord, this is what's next. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He didn't say he'll give you a little pardon. He said he will abundantly pardon. Hebrews chapter 7 says that God is able to save to the uttermost. I don't care how deep you are in sin. See? The blood, you know the song, it flows from the highest mountain to the lowest valley. It's the blood that cleanses me from day to day. It will never lose its power. Return to his God, but he will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, see, he's trying to get you to see, understand, and participate. Here is the invitation. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Again, he's not saying this so that you will never approach him. He's saying this as an invitation so that you can approach him. And he's saying, as you approach, please abandon your ways. Please abandon your thoughts. Start hearing what my thoughts are towards you. See? He didn't create you so that you could not fellowship with him. He created you so that you can fellowship with him. You were created in Revelation 4, it says that for his good pleasure, you were created. not just for his pleasure, for his good pleasure. The Bible says that he delights in the prosperity of his servants. It makes him extremely happy. Third John says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. This is the greatest joy that the Father can have, is that you walk in truth. When you walk in truth, remember, it makes you free. And then it makes you free and becomes an invitation to those who are around you that see your liberty. Amen. Okay. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but it watereth the earth, and it makes the earth bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Please hear this. He said, my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it's not going to come back to me void, but it's going to do something. It's going to, as the rain doesn't come back without doing its job, without doing its purpose. He says, this is the way my word works. It waters the earth and makes the earth bring forth and bud. It didn't say that it made the man that just repented have to go to the hard task of collecting seed, then planting the seed, then waiting. He said, no, when you return and think the way I think, he says, the word that comes down, it makes the earth, it waters the earth and makes the earth bring forth and bud. That this process of my word that comes down, he says, this is going to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Okay? Think about Adam. And when Adam came to the, when Adam was found in the earth, when he was placed here, Adam did not have to go to work. That was not the first thing that God told him to do. He told him to maintain, not obtain. Yeah. Be fruitful, multiply. Well, God, how am I going to be fruitful? I haven't done anything yet. This is day one when he made the man and said, it's very good. Then he said to the man, be fruitful. Stop getting religious. He didn't tell the man, get a job. He told the man, be fruitful. Okay. Did he tell the man to try anything? He told him to be something, didn't he? See, we try to be those that are found doing, and I appreciate that. But since an inheritance does not require my doing, I should be found enjoying. Amen. He made, for his pleasure, you were created. I know sometimes that, you know, that I say things and you say, well, I haven't heard that. It's still biblical. I'm held accountable for my words. I'm not going to sit up and just make something up. See, you were positioned in victory, total victory. Just so that you hear it, when he made the man, after he made the earth, he said it was good. In fact, he said it was very good. If it was very good, beloved, might I submit to you that there was nothing needed to cause it to be perfect. It was already made perfect. That's why he said, now, man, just be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish. Subdue. Have dominion. He didn't tell the man, make dominion, did he? He said, have it. All of this was by command, an invitation into his next level. Boy, I hope y'all got that. It was not till man sinned that sweat and the concept of work that was derived from sweat entered in. Man was created to enjoy. Okay? In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Did he say, in his presence, there is fullness of work? No, he said, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. See, this is faith on the move, grace in action here. See, we entered into a plan that was already perfect. And Jesus came to redeem us from the curse so that we can go back into that which is perfect. And now you are complete in him. So shall my word be. It goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereinto I sent it. The word was released so that we can receive it, so that it would then prosper according to his plan. The word that goes forth out of his mouth shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And do you see the word and? That is a conjunction. That means it's going to do two things. It's going to accomplish that which he pleases, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. Glory to God. He sent his word to you to heal you. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. See? So then it's going to do that which he pleased. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, I think it's verse 27, that the word, it says, and the Lord was present, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The Lord was there, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. But yet he could there do not many mighty works because of their unbelief. But was the word present? Yeah, it was present. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For my word is so powerful that you'll go forth with joy. You'll be led forth with peace, that the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And these things that you see, the conditions that are changed, the conditions that are right, because he says, I'm going to go forth. I'm going to be led forth with peace. This is what's in front of me. I mean, come on, y'all. I got goodness and mercy behind me. I've got joy and peace in front of me. Glory to God. Whew. I'm surrounded by his goodness because the whole earth is filled with the goodness of the Lord. Glory to God. See, that's faith on the move, grace in action. It says, it shall be an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. But sometimes we don't understand the word that he sent to us. We don't believe the word that he sent to us because we have been trained to believe circumstances instead of God. Amen. We've even come up with the point of saying the way that I know God loves me is because I don't have a problem. And that's error. The word was sent to you while the problem was there. He sent his word to heal you. So a lack of health was already present. If he sent the word to heal you, if he sent the word to deliver you, you must have already been in bondage. So why are we trying to come up with the understanding that if I don't go through something, then God loves me? No, he loved you when you was in the mess. And he sent a word to get you out of the mess. But what we do is we have conversations with the mess rather than have conversations with our deliverer. Amen. See, we're going to have to turn this thing around. In the middle of the problem, we have to say, okay, Jesus, first of all, you are God with me. And you said you'll never leave me or forsake me, so that I know that you're here. So since you're here, I recognize you're here to deliver. So I'm going to pay attention to what you say. Because you sent, oh, come on, y'all. He sent the word to heal you. So I need to pay attention to what he's saying. Why am I giving my conversation over to the problem when I should be giving my conversation over to my deliverer? Sometimes we just don't know, understand that he's already present to heal. Didn't the Bible tell us in Psalms 46 that he's a very present help? Very present help in the time of trouble. Very present. Okay, that's what it says in Psalms, but in Romans, he gives us a better understanding. He says, where sin did abound, much more did grace abound. So if I can see the sin, if I can see the trouble, if I can see the frustration, then I need to understand and believe that much more did grace abound. Amen. Okay, all right. Let's just go over there and see this. This is not part of the thing, but we've got to get to that understanding and stop being frustrated at the stuff that we see. See? Understand that the promise was there before. Okay, these are two things that you got to remember as you turn to Romans chapter 5. And I need you to understand that God says that he is a jealous God, and he will not have any other gods before him. So that tells me that before my trouble can get there, God has to already be there. He will not have any other gods before him. The challenge that we might have is that we don't look for him. We have more conversations with our trials than we have with our Savior. Romans chapter 5. Verse 20. And part B of verse 20. It says, I'm going to read the whole thing. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But, circle, underline, highlight, stars. But, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Did you get that? If I see the problem, I have to understand, according to Scripture, that there was more grace available than there was frustration. Where sin did abound, did not deny that things looked bad, but much more did grace abound. See, I don't try to get the victory. I started out with the victory. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation. At the same time the temptation is understood, he says he'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. See? So the problem didn't get there first. God was already there. We've got to get to the place where we stir ourselves up with that. See? The children of Israel went through this time and time and time. We got these things that were written for our admonition. They were in the middle of the fight in 2 Chronicles 20, and it looked real bad for them. And God told them, oh, Lord Jesus, go on and flip over there. These are things that I have rehearsed over and over in my spirit so that I will know that as I'm going through something, that I know that I'm going through it. Amen. This too shall pass. See? It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. This is just a visit. Why am I making the thing that's against me now a permanent thing? I can just, it's temporary. See, if I bind, I can loose. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Bless you, Jesus. This whole chapter sets up the deliverance that God has already made available for you. Let's go to Let's start at chapter one, verse one of the chapter. I want you to know this is how they were learning these things. Okay? We're on the other side, which means we have better promises. The Bible says we have a covenant, a better covenant with better promises. All right? And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with others beside the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So it says they got three named combatants that they're dealing with. The children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and the Amorites, with others beside. Okay? So we got at least three. Well, others is more than three, isn't it? Okay. So, and then there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, look how bad, come on, y'all. Look at the deliverance of God. And this is what they told him. There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea and on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazamatar and Injai. And Jehoshaphat feared. Notice what Jehoshaphat did. When the fear started, Jehoshaphat resolved the thing. He said, Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. It didn't say he didn't seek people. Come on, y'all. He didn't get 15 other people to say, man, this is bad. He said he set himself to do what? To seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And notice he said these words, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all of the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Listen at what the man was saying. He said, my prayer is going to come from a position of adoration. I'm going to put faith in my prayer. You are the God of all the kingdoms, all of them. And it says that in your hand there is power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Art thou not God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gave it to thy seed, a friend of Abraham, a friend forever? And thou dwelt therein, and they dwelt therein, built the sanctuary therein for thy name. They built it for thy name, saying, if when evil come, they are bringing the answer. This is what they said. If when evil come upon us as a sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, and we stand before this house and thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. I mean, he's reminding God of what he said. He's reminding God of the promise that brought them to where they're standing right now. Amen. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade. We could have took care of this problem before, God, but you wouldn't let us. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us. Come to cast us out of the possession which you've given us to inherit. O God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. I'm not looking at my problems. I'm not going to do that. Because if I looked at my problems, then I'm going to feel the same way the children of Israel felt in the book of Numbers. They felt like they were grasshoppers in their own sight. See? So, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And this thing got serious. They jerked the slack out of everybody. They said, no. When we seek the Lord, we're going to seek the Lord. He said, we're going to seek him. We're going to take our little ones. We're going to take our wives. And we're going to take the children. Everybody going to get involved in this thing. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattathiah, a Levite, of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And this is what they heard. It says, hearken, ye, all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. See, whatever you're going through, God is with you, and he's the one fighting for you. See, this is the faith that's on the move and the grace that's in action. I'm not going to let my heart get disturbed. And God says, don't be afraid of this great multitude. Don't be dismayed, for the battle's not yours. I mean, it'd be something if it was your battle, but you're not the one that's going to be doing the fighting. The Bible tells us we can just resist the devil and he'll flee. We're not the ones doing the fighting. Last time I checked, if I put on the whole armor of God, the devil don't know who's in that armor, if it's you or God. He just knows that the last time he saw that armor, he got the snot beat out of it. So then he'll send things to you to see if it's God or if it's you. If the God in you is going to stand up. Because if he finds fear, then he knows that you're not dressed correctly. Because if you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, then everywhere you step, he's already given it to you. So you say, so the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Wait a minute. They was thinking that this was going to be the last day they was going to have because things were looking pretty bad. They had armies and other armies coming against them. And then God said, since the battle's not yours, I'm even telling you right now, you're going to have a tomorrow. Glory to God. This is not the end of this thing. I've already promised you a tomorrow. Go down against them, and behold, they come. He's even going to tell you where they're going to be at. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Tomorrow they come by the cliff Ziz, and you should find them at the end of the book before the wilderness of Jeru. But, verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord God with you. Set yourselves. I don't need you be thinking about trying to run, trying to get away. Set yourself. Get your heart right. Get your mind right. Set yourself. Stand ye still. And then the only thing I want you to use is your eyes. See the salvation of the Lord God with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord shall be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. I mean, that's just something that we should hear. That in the midst of the battle, God is waiting on your worship. Your worship is an indication that you have set yourselves, that you will stand still, and your expectation is to see the salvation of the Lord, your God, that is with you. and the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord their God of Israel with a loud, high voice. And they rose early. And look at this. See, I mean, come on, y'all. When you have a word from God, they can't almost even wait for tomorrow. It says they arose early in the morning. That's the same thing that David did when he ran toward his problem. He ran toward Goliath. I'm not trembling as I go. I already know. I have confidence that the word he's spoken is the word I can live on. It's not going to come back to him void. It needs to prosper. Set yourselves in the thing whereunto he sent it. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they might praise the beauty of his holiness. It said that when he had consulted with the people, he went from crowd to crowd. They didn't have a loudspeaker back then. And this was the armies of the Lord. So he went from group to group. That's why we fellowship, is so that we can hear what the Lord is saying and is speaking into the group, the destiny of the group that's here, the destiny of the group that's here. And he went from group to group. He consulted with the people and appointed singers and that they might praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army, and they should say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." That's their marching orders. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set up ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. By what? They were smitten by praise. They were smitten by worship. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And for the children of Ammon, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy. And when they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. This was the power of God going into the fray on their behalf. They had received rest. They had received the promise and activated their part, which is to believe him. That's why he told them, listen, pay attention, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. He didn't tell them to go pick up a bow and arrow. He told them to believe. And so they would prosper. So then I would submit to you that the things that you're facing, the things that's coming at you, multiple things, it doesn't even matter. Go back to the place where God told you to move from and get the instructions that he told you. On tomorrow, go ye. See? He's already given you your victory. Come on, y'all. Your victory for tomorrow is given today. Did you see that? He gave them the victory while they were standing in front of their enemies. Surround circumstances, things circled around you, standing against you. They were standing in the place where the devil was telling all the time, all of the information that they were getting from the outside was saying, you about to be done. But there is an information that God is going to cause to rise up on the inside that guarantees your victory. You will not need to fight in this battle. But stand ye still. Set yourselves and see the salvation of the Lord God with you. And then they began to sing praise, and then the Lord began to go to work. I mean, it was so crazy that the people that came there to fight against the children of Israel ended up fighting against themselves, and they killed one another, and then the children of Israel, we're going to read the rest of it. They beat each other. When it came toward the watchtower, verse 24, they looked and unto the multitude, and behold, they're seeing what God did. Behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them the abundance of both riches with dead bodies and precious jewels that they stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away. Not just a little bit. This ain't no little bit. This ain't no I feel good party. This is a ain't God good party. Not a I feel good. This is a ain't God good. More than they could carry away. Now, just so that we get it, as you are arrayed for the battle, you probably have horses, carts, and God still said it was more than they can carry away. He didn't just say they put it in a pocket. They put it in a bag or two. When they came, they found the dead bodies, and they came to take away the spoil. They found, help me out again, among them abundance. Glory to God. Abundance of riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Wow. And the fourth day they assembled themselves together in the valley of Baraka, loud praise, that's what it means. For there the Lord blessed them. Therefore the name of that place is still called the Valley of Praise, the Valley of Worship unto this day. And they returned every man of Judah unto Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront, again to go to Jerusalem. How did they leave? They left with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave them rest round about. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will do what? You will find rest unto your souls. Oh, beloved, God is wanting to do that which he's always done. He's always provided victory for those that believe. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. It is time for us to return unto our God and allow him to do that which only he can do. Our praise unto our God allows him to do great and mighty things. They that know their God, they will be strong. They will do exploits. He wants to show himself strong. The eyes of the Lord are run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect or mature heart towards him. Don't position your heart against God, running away in fear, standing in frustration. stand in expectation, because you are the one that has been given the promise. You are the one that has been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you. Father, we just thank you and we bless you for your word that you sent to heal us, a word that would encourage us, cause us to see accurately, Father, because you told us to set ourselves, to stand still, and then use our eyes and see the salvation of the Lord God that's with us. Thank you, Father, that it doesn't matter all of the array against us, for you are on our side. You are the one that's going to fight the battle, and you will fight the battle in a supernatural way so that we don't get the credit, but that you will be the one that's glorified. Cause us to be able to set ourselves there, to allow you to build us up and then simply give us an inheritance among those that are sanctified. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory. We give you honor that you want to do it, and we'll do it in our lives as we trust you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, again, I'll give you the opportunity to share any comments or questions about the ministry tonight. So area code 404-536-7829. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? 404-536-7829. You have the mic. Amen. 404-536-7829. Area code 678-469-7930. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? Area code 678-469-7930. Amen. Amen. And again, I say it. It does look like sometimes that would be putting you on the out to the, in front of everybody, but it's not. It's just an opportunity for iron to sharpen iron. That's what we give you the opportunity. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. So, you know, just allow the process that God has worked into you to be released from you. Amen. In testimony. Same way it is for tithes, gifts, and offerings. That which we have given to you by way of the ministry of the word. Then the Bible says that if we minister you spiritual things, it is no great deal for you to minister unto us out of your natural or carnal things. So we give you an opportunity. The message has been a blessing to you tonight. Then you can go to livedeliverance.com and look for the donate tab, and then you can plant a seed here at livedeliverance.com, because that is the affirmation that the word that you've spoken is now expected to be used in your life. The grace that was released is now going to be faith on the move in your life. So go and seal that by simply sowing a seed here for livedeliverance.com. That's the way we stay on the air. So we ask you to ask God, what would he have you to do? And then be obedient, because God says he's not willing to do without a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you will always, under all circumstances, have more than enough, be furnished for every good work and charitable donation. This is the will of God. As we hear truth that we're transformed, as we've received of the Spirit, let's exercise faith in motion by giving unto the Lord, which is a thanksgiving unto us here at livedeliverance.com. So until the next time that we get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next time, be blessed.